Welcome to Zichron Dav Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechel Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Hey Amid Beis quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that one may close a window shutter on Shabbos as long as the shutter is tied to the building and is also suspended in the air. On this, the Chachamim stated, Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach Pokeking Bo. In either case, we may shutter the window with it. The Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim regarding what the Chachamim referring to. Rabbi Yabba said in the name of Kahana, the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter ben kasher ben enu kasher, whether the shutter was tied to the building or not, v'hu shemasukan, provided that it was meant to be prepared for use as a shutter prior to Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter ben talui ben she'enu talui, v'hu shekasher, whether the shutter was suspended in the air or not, provided that it was tied to the building. Mental preparation is not sufficient. Point number two, the final mission of the Perek states that vessel covers that have handles may be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that kisui karkos, covers of holes in the ground, need to have handles in order to be permitted, but kisui kalim, vessel covers, may be moved on Shabbos, whether they have handles or not. Rashi explains that it is necessary for the covers of holes in the ground, such as pits or cisterns, to have handles, so that it will be clear that the cover is not there permanently. Using a cover without a handle will look like he's sealing the hole permanently and will appear like bona. And point number three, the opening mission of the 18th Perek states that one may clear away on Shabbos 4 or 5 boxes of straw or produce mifnei orchim mifnei bitul beis midrash for guests or to make room for talmidim to attend a shir on Shabbos. Rashi explains that this is permitted for the purposes of the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim and talmud Torah, respectively, even though removing the boxes involved tirchid the Shabbos, exertion on Shabbos. So once again, the 3 points are number one, the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Hey on the base quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that one may close a window shutter on Shabbos as long as the shutter is tied to the building and is also suspended in the air. On this, the Chachamim stated, Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach Pokeking Bo. In either case, we may shutter the window with it. The Gemara here brings a Malchokas and Marayim regarding what the Chachamim were referring to. Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Kahana, that the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter Ben Kasher Ben Eino Kasher, whether the shutter was tied to the building or not, but Hu Shemasukan, provided that it was meant to be prepared for use as a shutter prior to Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter ben tali ben she'enu tali v'husha kasher, whether the shutter was suspended in the air or not, provided that it was tied to the building. Mental preparation is not sufficient. Point number two, the final mission of the Perek states that vessel covers that have handles may be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that only kisui karkos, covers of holes in the ground, need to have handles in order to be permitted. Kisui kalim, vessel covers, may be moved on Shabbos whether they have handles or not. Rashi explains that it's necessary for the covers of holes in the ground, such as pits or cisterns, to have handles, so that it will be clear that the cover is not there permanently. Using a cover without a handle will look like he's sealing the hole permanently and will appear like bona. And pointing with you, the opening Mishnah of the 18th Perek states that one may clear away on Shabbos 4 or 5 boxes of straw or produce, mipnei orchim mipnei bitul beis midrash, for guests, or to make room for talmidim to attend this year on Shabbos. Rashi explains that this is permitted for the purposes of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim and Talmud Torah, respectively, even though removing the boxes involves Tircha de Shabbos, exertion on Shabbos. All right, so now we go to our siman for Kuf Chav Vav, and in this case, the hands-down winner was the cuckoo bird. The cuckoo bird clock. So we're going to use a cuckoo bird clock for our siman for Kuf Chav Vav. Thank you, everybody, for your suggestions. And here goes. The thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, not to disturb the shear where they had cleared away for boxes of hay. Once again, in slow motion. The thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock. Cuckoo bird clock, that must mean Randaf Kuf Chav Vav. The thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter, which reminds us of the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Hay on the base quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that one may close a window shutter on Shabbos as long as the shutter is tied to the building and is also suspended in the air. On this, the Chachamim stated, Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach Pokeking Bo. In either case, we may shutter the window with it. The Gemara brings some Malchokas and Marayim regarding what the Chachamim were referring to. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Kahana that the Chachamim permitted closing a shutter ben kasher ben enu kasher, whether the shutter was tied to the building or not, v'hu shemasukan, provided that it was meant to be prepared for use as a shutter prior to Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter ben talui ben she'enu talui, v'hu shekasher, whether the shutter was suspended in the air or not, provided that it was tied to the building. Mental preparation is not sufficient. So the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, which reminds us the final mission on the Perek states that vessel covers that have handles may be moved on Shabbos. Rav Yossi disagrees and says that only kisui karkos, covers of holes in the ground, need to have handles in order to be permitted, but kisui kalim, vessel covers, may be moved on Shabbos whether they have handles or not. Rashi explains that it's necessary for the covers of holes in the ground, such as pits or cisterns, to have handles so that it'll be clear that the cover is not there permanently. Using a cover without a handle would look like he's sealing the hole permanently and will appear like bona. So the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, not to disturb the shear where they had cleared away four boxes of hay. Which reminds us, the opening mission in the 18th Perek states that one may clear away on Shabbos four or five boxes of straw or produce, mifnei orchim, mifnei bitul beis midrash, for guests or to make room for talmidim to attend this year on Shabbos. Rashi explains that this is permitted for the purposes of the mitzvah of Haknasas Orchim and Talmud Torah, respectively, even though removing the boxes involves Tircha de Shabbos, exertion on Shabbos. So once again, the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out to the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, not to disturb the shear where they had cleared away four boxes of hay. All right, now it's time for four blah ba chazara. Daf kuf chabei. So the siman is corn on the cob. So here goes. The Jew eating corn on the cob, that must be more on daf kuf chabei. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, which reminds us, the last mission in the Perek states that if a Gentile lit a lamp for himself, a Jew may use its light, but if the Gentile lit the lamp for the Jew, he may not use it. The same principle applies if a Gentile drew water for his animal or built a gangplank to disembark from a boat. The mission concludes with the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim disembarking on a gangplank that a Gentile made. The Gemara brings a brace that limits the mission's ruling and states that one can only benefit from the Gentile's work if she'enu makiro. The Gentile does not know the Jew. Rashi explains that if he knew him, we assume he did the malach on behalf of the Jew as well. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he can now remove the door from his trunk, which reminds us, based on the opening mission of the 17th Perek, which discusses moving kalim and their doors on Shabbos, the Gemara brings a brace that states the doors of a carriage, trunk, or closet may be removed from its socket on Shabbos, but may not be reinserted. The Gemara asks on a brisa that if the Tana holds yesh binyan bekelim, yesh stir bekelim, that he holds that there is a prohibition to build kelim on Shabbos, he must hold there is a prohibition of demolishing them. And if he holds ain stir bekelim, ain binyan bekelim, that there is no prohibition of demolishing kelim, he must hold that there is no prohibition of building them either. So how can removing the doors from their socket be permitted while reinserting them into the socket be prohibited? Abaye answers that the Tana holds yesh binyan bekelim v'yesh stir bekelim. And the Mishnah means to say that shenitru, that they were removed, not that one is permitted to remove them. The Mishnah means that in a situation where the doors were removed, one is prohibited from reinserting them. Rava answers that the Tana holds ein binyan bekelim v'ein stir bekelim, and the Tana prohibits reinserting them out of concern that he might wedge them in and then be liable for makav patish. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he could now remove the door from his trunk and pull out his blacksmith's hammer to crack open nuts. Which reminds us, the Mishnah say that one is permitted to take a hammer to crack open nuts on Shabbos. Rav Yudah says that the Mishnah is referring to a hammer that has been designated to crack open nuts, but a blacksmith's hammer would be prohibited. He holds klisha makta le'isra afil etzara gufo aser, something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos, may not be moved even for a permitted use. Rabba says that the Mishnah is referring to a blacksmith's hammer. Rabba holds that klisha makta le'isra etzara gufo muter, something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos, may be used for a permissible purpose. Daf kuf chaf gimel. So the symbol of kuf chaf gimel is ka-ching of a cash register. So here goes. The hardware store's cash register finally went ka-ching, ka-ching. That must mean run daf kuf chaf gimel. The hardware store's cash register finally went ka-ching, when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, which reminds us, Rav Yosef taught that a sewing needle that had its eye or point removed is not muksa, since it still can be used to remove a splinter. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Kalim that teaches that a needle that has had its eye or point removed is not makabel tuma, because it no longer has the status of a kli, and asks, why, according to Rav Yosef, the needle is not muksa if it's not considered a kli? So Abai answers and says, l'inyan tuma kli maisa be'inan, for an item to be susceptible to tuma, it must be a fashion vessel, l'inyan Shabbos, midi dechazi be'inan, for an item not to be classified as muksa, we require it to be fit for use, and this needle is fit to remove a splinter. Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef and says that whatever is not considered a kli for tuma is not considered a kli for Shabbos, and therefore This type of needle is muksa. So the hardware store's cash register found went ka-ching when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, they sold a pricey plow blade, which reminds us, in the second mishnah on the daf, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol kelim nitain chutz min meser agadol v'yased shel machresha. All kelim may be moved on Shabbos, except for a large saw and the blade of a plow. Rashi explains that since the owner is particular about them and designates a place to store them, they are muksa. This category of muksa is called muksa machmas chisar on kis, muksa because one sets it aside for fear of potential monetary loss. The Gemara brings additional examples. So the hardware store's cash register probably went ka-ching when instead of giving refunds back on broken sewing needles, they sold a pricey plow blade just as muksa restrictions were being lifted. Which reminds us, the Gemara provides the historical development of muksa. Nehemiah ben Chachalia enacted the restrictions of muksa in the days of Bai Sheni because people were lax in Shabbos observance. Initially, the decree was extremely strict and only three commonly used kelim were permitted to move. As Shmir Shabbos improved, the Rabban eased the restrictions numerous times, as the Brisa teaches, Hitiru v'chazvi hitiru v'chazvi hitiru. They permitted the movement of additional kelim, and then they further permitted, and they further permitted, until the only kelim that could not be moved at all were muksa machmas chesar and kis, muksa for fear of monetary loss. And there's malchuk's bin Abai and Rava regarding how the restrictions were lifted. Daf kuf chav dalet, so the simon is cookie dough, so here goes. The cookie dough, that must be run daf kuf chav dalet. The cookie dough kept in the klush machdala heter that could be moved whether needed or not, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states regarding a klush machdala heter, kol kelim nitan letzorach v'shelo letzorach. All kelim may be moved whether they are needed or not. Rav Nechemiah says, ein nitan el letzorach. They may not be moved unless they are needed. There's a machlokas how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rabba, the word letzorach in the Mishnah means letzorach gufo, and the word shelo letzorach means letzorach makomo. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees with the Tanakhim and says that a klish machdala heter can only be moved letzorach, meaning letzorach gufo. Rava holds that the word letzorach means letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, and the words shelo letzorach mean macham letzel, in order to provide it protection. Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees with the Tanakhim and says that a klish machdala heter can be moved letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, but not macham letzel. So the cookie dough kept in the klish machdala heter that can be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces, which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding broken kelim. The Tanakhama says that all kelim that may be moved on Shabbos may be moved if they broke as well. The Mishnah qualifies this, b'vaj yo'osin me'in malach, provided they can be used to perform some sort of task. Rav Yehuda agrees that these broken pieces may be moved, b'vaj yo'osin me'in malachtan, provided they can perform a semblance of their former task, such as a broken piece of a mixing bowl, which can still be used as a bowl to pour porridge into. This malchukas amarim, whether the kelim mentioned the Mishnah, broken Shabbos or an Erev Shabbos. So the cookie dough kept in the klish machdala heter that could be moved whether needed or not, was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces they had found in the Carmelis, covering some spittle. Which reminds us, everyone agrees that a broken piece of earthenware may be moved. This malchukas amarim, however, about in which area this applies. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that it may be moved in a chatzir, but not in the Carmelis. Rashi explains that a chatzir often has vessels that are fit to be covered by a shard of earthenware, and therefore it's not muksa. Rav Nachman himself says that an earthenware shard can be moved in a Carmelis as well. Rashi explains that people often sit down in a Carmelis, since it's not so busy, and they can use it to cover their spittle. Rava holds that the shard can be even moved in Rishus HaRabim. Rashi explains that since it has a use in the courtyard, it does not lose its classification as a kli when in Rishus HaRabim. So the simple kuf chav he is $1.25, $1.25, so here goes. The kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25, that means run daf kuf chav he. The kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav, that Shiari Perosmios asked with Taltim B'Shabbos, remnants of a talus may not be moved on Shabbos. Abai said that Rabbi Zera was referring to patches that are less than 3 etzbaos by 3 etzbaos, since they're not suitable for use by the poor people or wealthy people, they are muksa. So the kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25 was about to close up shop with the shutter hanging by a rope, which reminds us, the next Mishnah brings Malchokas and I'm regarding window shutters. Rabbi Ezra says that a window shutter that is attached to a building by a rope that is so short that the shutter is suspended in the air may be used on Shabbos to shutter the window. If the shutter is not suspended in the air, it may not be used to shutter the window because it will look as if one is building an addition onto the house. The Chachamim permit the use of a window shutter even if it's not tied to the building at all. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim hold that one may not make an ohel arai, a temporary structure on Shabbos Yontov. They disagree only regarding whether one is permitted to make a temporary addition to an existing structure. Rabbi Yezer says one cannot, and the Chachamim permit it. So the kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25 was about to close up shop with the shutter hanging by a rope, when he suddenly got the idea to sell the stone on top of the barrel as a cover. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a mission from Daf Kufman Beis Amud Beis. It states that one may tilt a barrel that has a stone on top so that the stone will fall off. Rabbi said in the name Rabbi Ami, who said in the name Rabbi Yochanan, that this is only in a case where the person was a shocheach, that he forgot the stone on top of the barrel. If he was a maniach, if he placed it there intentionally, the barrel would become a basis ladava aser, and it would be prohibited to tilt the barrel. The Gemara explains that this opinion holds be'ina maisa, that a significant action is required to turn the stone into a kli. Just placing the stone on the barrel is not sufficient. Rabbi Yosef said, in the name of Rabbi Asi, who said in the name of Yochanan, that in a case of a maniach, where he placed it there intentionally, the stone would be classified as a cover for the barrel and may be lifted outright. The Gemara explains that this opinion holds lo be'ina maisa, no significant act of preparation is required, and merely placing the stone on the kli is sufficient to give it the status of a cover. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we have in Machlokes whether broken sewing needles are muksa? That's on daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have in Machlokes whether all kalim covers require handles or just ground covers do? That's on daf Kuf Chav Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn about the concept of muksa, machmas, chesar, and kis? That's on daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn why one is permitted to bring out a basket containing 100 mules from a fire? That's on daf Kuf Chav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn when you can benefit from a light turned on by a Gentile on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have machlokes about when window shutters can be used? That's on daf Kuf Chav Hei. Good. Number 7. Where do we have a machlokes where broken pieces can be moved? Is it a chatzar, a carmelis, a rishus harabim? That's on daf Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you have the question whether one can kill poisonous snakes or scorpions on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Chav Aleph. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you have the chicken pieces is muks and therefore can be covered with a bowl on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Chav Aleph. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you learn that straw can be cleared for Hakanas's Orchim or Bittul Beis Hamidrash, even though there is Tirch involved? That's on daf Kuf Chav Vav. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that you can't use a tefillin bag for anything else? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 2. Where do we have the Machlokes regarding who is greater, Bali Tshuva or Tzaddikim Gemurim? That's on daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn that one should not be botzeh, one should not break bread before people say amen? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.